welcome everybody to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. Specifically today we are doing our Game of Thrones recap spectacular. Episodes 7 and 8 are in the books. We're on the eve of what's usually the best episode of each season, episode 9. We'll get into some topics looking forward. But we're going to recap first, go over what we like, what we didn't like. You know, Mike and his everlasting love for Game of Thrones, and Chewie's infinite knowledge of the show, and George just gonna sit here and listen to us because, you know, he still hasn't seen the show.
He shoots in.
Yeah, every so often he'll chime in and all that. So, you know, so obviously, you know, introductions aside here, I'll start with George Snow, of course. George, how you doing, big guy?
What's going on, guys?
You ready to listen to Game of Thrones talk?
Always.
Oh, I like that. And of course, we got Tyrion Rose, the man beast himself. How you doing, big guy?
I'm good, man.
You good? Your wine?
Yeah, not drinking wine yet.
You know, but you know stuff.
I know some things.
And direct from the House of Snatch, we got Chewie joining us live over the phone, of course. How you doing, man?
Buenas tardes, los real mentors. Otra vez, un honor y placer para estar acá en vivo y en directo de los estudios girlslife.com.
Wow, you got a little bilingual introduction. Wow. Very nice.
So my Latino and fellow Colombians who are celebrating today.
That's true. Of course, we had pressure-filled win yesterday, stressful win yesterday.
A close call last night.
Yeah, it was too close for comfort, but they pulled it off, so I'm happy about that. So moving on to the next round, of course. Jon Snow could use their help, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. So either way, so let's get into it. We'll start with the major storylines, some of that from the episodes and all that. We'll start with some of the easy ones with the return of the Hound, which we talked about before, predicting he was going to show up at some point. Of course, I think episode 7, he made his appearance before the beginning of the show.
Right. And for a minute.
Yeah, they had like a cold opening. Yeah, before they actually had the 8-minute song that they usually do.
Actually, I was totally shocked when I saw it was him. Because I was trying to figure out what they were doing, and I was trying to figure out what exactly was going on. And this was before Ian McShane showed up.
Who I love.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And we'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah, he's awesome. It was kind of cool. I love the fact that he's back. I was hoping, you know, be a little more dramatic. Like he comes back to save Arya, which we'll get into later, or fight the mountain, which we thought might be a possibility, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
It's not happening now, but it was rumored before. Yeah, I'll be quiet, Chewie. But again, he introduced to Ian McShane, who's, again, he's phenomenal. We knew he was going to be in the show. We didn't know what capacity.
He was in the show. That's about all I can say about
his 2 minutes of fame on Game of Thrones, and it kind of sucks to kill him off, but whatever. It is what it is. He was basically a plot device and kind of a waste, in my opinion, but whatever.
Wasn't anybody that was said. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Terrible name, too.
Yeah, it was kind of weird, but whatever. He was great in it. I loved having him back, but I didn't quite. It was kind of cliched having the Hound, you know, with the. He's trying to, I guess, find redemption. He finds someone who can help him find a route to straighten his life. And then they get killed off. And now he's back off the wagon, so to speak. We've seen it a million times. I was hoping a little bit of a Game of Thrones. But he's back, which I like.
Speaking of his storyline, last episode, he was hilarious.
He was great, yeah.
I love how he was like, "All right, do you have anything to say?" And the guy's like... "See you next Tuesday." And I was like, "Are you kidding?" The guy's like, "Man, you're terrible."
that was some dignity, goddamn. That's just embarrassing, even for the Hound. But I like that. At least that the second and episode 8, that his storyline improved a little bit, and have the thing with the hanging, and he got, you know, the negotiate. He's like, "Hanging? I want a little more than that."
Can I get an arm or a leg?
I know exactly what's going on here. He kind of got gypped.
Give him a little something.
Yeah, exactly.
I think in a way this is kind of wrapping up the fact that they're probably going to end up going north to the wall eventually, and I think that's why that whole thing happened. But
yes,
you're right about plot device. I think that it, and sometimes that bugs me when they do that, where they just take somebody and, you know, don't develop a character just as a plot device.
He's just there to get killed off and motivate. They could have motivated the Hound 1,000 ways.
Right. It's like the other friend of Jon Snow at the wall. Not Dolores Ed, but the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was the one that had to shut the door and hold the door shut, and then he got blown up.
Yeah, not Hodor, but...
No.
Not to get back to that. But, Chewie, what do you see this going? Like, the Hound, I mean, he's introduced, like, is Mike Rizzi heading down to the wall?
Well, I, I'm not sure if he's gonna throw out. I mean, I kind of hope that, you know, and I'm not sure if this is gonna happen, that he kind of meets up with Arya again,
because yes,
you know, they had a nice bond, a partnership. You know, it kind of worked. That visually it was adversarial and ended up being more kind of working together, and that's why, you know, when she confessed to the Waif, was episode 7 or whatever, that, you know, why is he wasn't on his list anymore, and could kind of show how that relationship developed. So I would like to see him get back together. I'm not sure if in the context of the story it's going to work or how it's going to happen, but it'd be nice to see it again.
Well, I think that Arya's storyline's going to... I don't want to get into this too much, because then we're going to be talking about what's going to happen and really we're supposed to be talking
Let's
about
put that on hold for a second. Let's get into Arya, because that's the next big thing. And for me, actually, we talked about this.
But let me sum up that, you know, I don't have any issue with the plot device of Wallace Warren. Yes, he's a great guy, but, I mean, it was necessary to kind of just the layout to lay people as far as the motivation and kind of give the Hound something to think about. And honestly, we don't know what's going to happen to him or where it's going, but, you know, the Brotherhood's kind of reinforcing that.
My problem with this is Ian McShane's a great actor, and I would have loved to see them give him a part in the show.
A legitimate part.
By the way, but a juicier, meatier character.
Yes.
Right, but why couldn't he be Euron Greyjoy? I mean,
he would have been great on the show.
Right.
He would have fit in perfect in it. So it's kind of, because they could have motivated the Hound either way. I mean, they could have just shown him walking around and killing people. I mean, you know, he's the Hound.
He's the Hound, but I mean,
They didn't need that to get him motivated. He's already a guy who goes and kills. That's what he does. So, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. It wasn't a huge issue. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst.
No, it's not.
He laid out A to B to C. This is the motivation. This is how he's changing, how he's evolved. And he's been evolving since he left King's Landing anyway, so...
I'll give you that. So I'm kind of curious to see. And we'll circle back with him when we talk about Arya, which we'll do now, because for me, I'm into, again, we talked, like I mentioned before, I hated almost everything about her and what happened, how it ended last episode.
I mean, she recovered her vision yet?
Yes.
Because I know she recovered her vision.
She got it back and part of a training. Okay, so she's seen it again. But what happened, George, she ended up leaving, and now they sent one of the Waif, who's one of the girls she's training with, to go after and kill her. Either way, so I'll start with that, because she's running around town. She knows they're going to go after her. She's not an idiot. And
she's throwing money around. I can make the argument that she may not necessarily known that she was targeted for death. You could think, okay, that she would be disavowed, disowned, kicked out, whatever, no second chance, no third chances. But, you know, maybe she didn't implicitly understand that, okay, you don't do this, you're the one that's going to give up their life for the face of God.
I mean, she had to have known. She's not, I mean, come on, she had at least suspect or something. But she's walking around like it's nothing, throwing money around, trying to get a ship. And here comes that old lady right before she gets stabbed, and she has no clue. It just didn't come off right at all.
The other thing I wanted to point out was that old lady's face wasn't just some random old lady's face. This was an old lady's face that was in the wall of faces.
Yes, you're right.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it was, to me, I just didn't understand the whole, what they were trying to do with it. And I was one of those morons that was reading into the conspiracy aspect of it, that it really wasn't Arya.
It was a Fight Club.
I didn't buy into the Fight Club theory.
No. But at the end, I wish it would have been something like that.
It might have been Jaqen H'ghar or whatever.
Yeah.
Masquerading as Arya.
And that's what I was kind of hoping that after it all turned out, I wish it would have been something like that. Because she gets stabbed. She should have seen it coming and she didn't, you know? And that's like, okay, whatever, fine. She gets stabbed up to, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, what he said about being Jack, I think we talked about it, you know, during a pre-production early in the week that, you know, in a sense, you know, I think, I don't think he wanted her to die at the end of the day. Where she became one of the face men or not. I mean, I think it was just another training for the two. If one was going to survive, and whoever survived was fine by him, whether it be Arya or the Waif. If Waif would serve him, the Arya would come to realize who she was and be her person and take those skills out back to Westeros.
When you told me, I was like, that made sense. It just didn't come across that way, and they did a bad job of projecting that on the show, because it's like she did all this training for nothing, ends up back where she kind of started. She has some additional training, finally get it, but it didn't go anywhere.
So they spent a lot of time on her. Sorry, you're telling me that all her skills of needle and all her valet classes like have not really surmounted to anything? Because, you know, like...
No, she used them last night.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, she's had needle training for, like, what? For, like, six seasons?
Well, she never trained with needle, as far as, like, when she was...
But with a stick or whatever.
Wait, but that was cereal.
That guy cereal at the beginning. Right. That was season one, but nothing
exactly.
beyond that. But,
exactly.
So I think the problem was, you know, we touched on it a little bit, was they took one whole season at her at Bravos, and they made it too long because they were trying to wait for a Martin to catch up with the books. Then they realized, okay, he's not going to get six out, and they kind of condensed the second year into very, very quickly, and it didn't, you know, it didn't come out the right way.
Yeah, it didn't pay off.
The training, and yes, there was a purpose to this. It wasn't shown properly.
Exactly. So the execution was bad, and for me, like the last sequence, a lot of people liked it. Some didn't. A lot of people I talked to. Some people on my side, some aren't. I'm curious to see where you guys are at. That sequence of her running around like when the waif is doing her T2 impression, yeah. I absolutely detest. This is my thing.
Actually, it was
T1000. Yeah.
Jason Bourne.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Good thing is she got stabbed. She got stabbed like three times, and one of them was like a twist after she got stabbed. I mean, she's messed up, and she's healing. And the short scene where I guess she goes back to the actress who gets killed, and obviously the waif walks in on her, and she gets out of bed like wincing, like, oh, my stomach. And 2 seconds later, she's running around town like Assassin's Creed.
She's jumping, right?
Yeah, she's parkouring. And it was like, okay, dude. She's seriously injured, and she's running around like nothing happened, jumping 30 feet in the air, falling down the steps.
By the way, Jose.
Jesus Christ.
How ticked off do you think that poor fruit salesman is that she bled all over his friggin' oranges?
Ruining somebody's produce. Okay.
That scene had a little Homer Simpson that where she was kept falling step over step over step.
Oh, I know. It's like there's never ending steps. Like, what's going on? It was just so out of character for the show. I suspend disbelief. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus Christ, that was a bit much. And that goes, it ends up convenient enough and back in a room with the needles at where she was hiding out. And I didn't mind the fact that you didn't show her killing her.
I did like the end of it.
I didn't mind that. I find they didn't show it. I don't know if they see a battle. It's understood. She turned off the... cut the candle out, and she has advantage because right. She was blind. Fine, I have no problem with that. But just leading up to it, it was a total just
remember though,
it was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
The ridiculous part of that is that most probably the waif has already had the blind girl training too. That's part of the faceless man training.
Probably, exactly. Right? Yeah.
So that's kind of stupid.
The whole thing was just like I said, the execution of her story was really just poorly. That was entertaining to some degree, but it was just like it was almost laughable, man. It was really bad.
I want to go on record as saying that I really liked the scene that she had with Jacques. When at the end when she brought the face of the,
oh, but the face, face right back. Yeah, yeah.
I liked that scene.
That was cool, but that was about it.
The rest of it
exactly. It was we just kind of sad because they spent a lot of time on it and there was no payoff for me anyway. But going back to the hound, now
there was payoff, but it wasn't
a good payoff. I'll put it that way. Not for me anyway. Chewie, do you think now, because my thing was I thought the hound, that maybe they're both on the way to the wall now and they meet up. And now am I wrong there, or
I have a feeling that she's gonna go to King's Landing.
Chewie?
He's busy making coffee.
I think she's going to... Well, I mean, obviously, she doesn't know what's going on. Obviously, she knows nothing about next week's battle, trying to get back Winterfell. So, and I'm not sure if she's motivated enough to continue down her list because of, you know, kind of how she reacted with the actress portraying Cersei and how, you know, she kind of had a better understanding of where she was coming from and obviously her understanding of how she's developed. So I would hope that she'd want to go back home and try to find her brothers and sisters and then, you know, exact revenge of people who wronged them in some way.
So do you think that she ends up back in the Walden? Because she knows Jon Snow's there, I think. Am I wrong?
We argued whether she knows if he's even there or that he's alive.
But there's no word coming to her.
And I think she's headed back to Winterfell because she doesn't know that obviously they lost when she had no knowledge of it. She left after season one and he'd been cut off. All she knows is her mother's dead at the Red Wedding and more likely Robb Stark. But I mean, that's about it.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, but I do, like you said, I want to see him get back with the Hound at some point, and maybe they help each other. Yeah. Who knows? I think that because you're right. That I thought one of the coolest parts of that season was their relationship and how they built up and all that. I like that a lot.
By the way, I felt
it kind of served like a redemption for him and then a learning for her. I mean, he was teaching her, you know, you got to kill or be killed. You got to, you know, get what you need, get what you want. But at the same time, there was some honor because he was still trying to, you know, yes, he was motivated by money, but it obviously didn't, you know, there was a connection that he had a relationship he forged with her as a kind of like a daughter figure somehow in some fashion, weird fashion.
I also felt like his, like, I actually, my Arya moment in the whole series was her relationship with Tywin Lannister when she was the wine girl. I thought that was great. I thought it actually humanized Tywin a little bit, even though Tywin's a douchebag, that it made it that much better. I thought so, anyway.
Yeah, I guess.
At least it gave us more insight into the character, served for character development and giving the insight and kind of giving people, from their point of view, from that character's point of view, their motivation, and from the way they looked at things. It wasn't necessarily good or evil. It was just what they were trying to accomplish in life. And for him, it was all about family and prolonging the Lannister line.
Stupid Lannisters. But actually,
as Bron said, they always pay their debts.
Awesome, Bron. Well, let's get into that as far as with. Let's jump into the Jaime storyline for a second. Obviously, he was sent away. The whole Blackfish thing, which I wasn't a huge fan of, for a couple of things. It was kind of weird because, the shrunk, him getting killed off screen again was kind of weird. I didn't like that.
I don't think he was killed.
That's a possibility that he's still alive.
Don't you remember? He said, "They'll bring me the blackfish. And the guy goes, "Okay." He didn't say, "Oh, we killed him." He didn't say that. So I don't know.
Yeah, he said Dave's dead.
Yeah, then he told me. He said that he fought and they killed him. That's what he told Jaime.
Did he?
Yeah, he said that.
I don't know if he said they fought, but that they
well,
dead.
That he's
they
dead.
They found him. Yeah, they found him and he said, "Bring it to me," and he said, "He's dead."
Exactly.
Oh, I guess I missed that.
Yeah, no, he has said that, so I'm saying. So they kind of killed him off screen, which is kind of weird because I kind of liked him.
Same shit happened to Stannis, though.
But he died, so, because there was a question about that.
Yeah. Brienne confirmed I killed him, so there's no doubt about that.
I like the part where I like the whole meet between Brianna and Jaime getting together again. That was cool.
Oh, that was outstanding, man.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That scene.
Yeah. How about the fake hand wave at the end?
And that whole speech and the back and forth between them two, that was outstanding writing.
It was. And I think they foreshadowed that they're going to fight down the road. Obviously, I think that's something that's going to happen.
I mean, it's kind of foreshadowing down that path, and as unfortunate as that may be, it's either one or the other, because obviously each one is being backed into their corners as far as what's right and what's wrong.
Is that respect that I think came across for both of them?
Yeah, the mutual respect.
Yeah,
maybe pseudo love.
I don't know. I think maybe Brienne's got the hots for him. I think. I don't know.
That kind of came across like was it season two or three? When he's taking a bath back in King's Landing, and he kind of confesses to her the whole Kingslayer, where that came about and what it actually did. It came off as honorable, but. I mean, you could see that there was a growing relationship between the two. And obviously, it's obvious to everyone. I mean, you just talk about Bron in this conversation. It's like, hey, you think they're fucking in there?
I know. But I think she does. And it's kind of cool. I guess it led at the end when she's taking off in the boat and it kind of gives her that wave. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not coming after you. Do what you got to do. And we'll probably end up meeting down the road, obviously.
We'll see each other somewhere. Hopefully not. But if we do, we know what's going to happen.
Oh, no. They're going to fight. They've already laid that out. There's no question. At some point, they're going to end up meeting again.
I don't think it's going to be this season.
No, it won't be this season. No, at all. Nah, but I'm saying down the road, it's going to happen. It's inevitable at that point. And then back with Cersei. Go ahead.
But let me say, having Bronn at Riverrun and the dialogue and the scenes, I love that character. I just love him. He's just hilarious.
He's great. I wish they had more of him, though. They just kind of sprinkle him in every so often. So,
Yeah, this season really hasn't been an opportunity for him.
Not really.
As Jaime's sidekick, at least he's not forgotten. He's still around.
I mean, Ian McShane got more screen time than Bronn this season. That doesn't say a whole lot.
at least we got
still alive, at least.
Well, agreed.
At least we got the headlock of doom.
Oh.
for Podrick.
Referring to the mountain. Which brings us circle back to Cersei now, because obviously, yeah, we had a cool, you know, it's always nice to see the mountain decapitate people, I guess.
He didn't just decapitate.
He ripped them apart. It was like Mortal Kombat. It was awesome.
Franken Mountain doesn't know how to use a sword anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I love that she said, "I choose violence."
I choose violence. Yeah, like, and those guys were like, "Oh shit!"
The one guy just ran up to him with a spiked stick.
Oh,
yeah,
he stabbed him. He's like,
"Really, bro?"
He's like, oh, "Okay."
The mountain is the one that killed the horse when he lost the jousting, right? Upon losing the jousting tournament, he just went and killed the horse right there.
No, they all like, yeah, we're not having none of this. And they were scared shitless at that point. Nah. I don't blame them. It was kind of cool them going after him, but whatever. I get it. I wouldn't have done it.
Irony, though, is that the mountain's a totally different actor. I think he's been three different actors.
Yeah, three or four. Yeah, they keep changing him on the show.
It's three actors on the show. Yeah, so.
It's someone else. We know it's some big guy who's huge with armor.
The Icelandic guy that's like the world's strongest man.
Or he was at one point. Yeah, he was mammoth of a man. But now Cersei, which this was actually a good surprise, because I think we're all expecting to be the trial by combat, and nope. Little stupid Tom in there,
Sparrow, two or three moves ahead of them.
Yeah, man. So
playing them like a fiddle.
Yeah, and which was great, because her reaction was, she was great. I love her, and she was like, oh, damn. Now she has to go through a real trial, and he's got her son wrapped around his finger, and what the hell is she going to do? And she's pretty much screwed, because I think she was really lying. She really thought the mountain would take care of business, which we all thought that. And
we saw what he could do.
Oh, yeah. No one's going to beat him, man. So that's why the whole hound thing wasn't even going to make sense, having a fight him. You know, the rumors about that
so
wouldn't make sense.
So something's going to have to happen. Nah,
yeah. Well, this is what I want to get into. We'll start predicting with this story, because I think it's a good jumping out point to move ahead before we get into the whole Jon Snow stuff. Is there was a section, I mean, Chewie talked about it, where she goes to the right-hand man and asks about that rumor, if the rumor was true. And he tells Cersei that the rumor is true. Any idea what the rumor is? Because I was kind of confused.
I think from, you know, a lot of people are thinking it has something to do with the wildfire.
That's what I
maybe a secret
thought.
Storage. I'm not sure. And because I go back to season two, where we first find out about the wildfire, the wildfire they had stored underneath somewhere, where I think Cersei found out, and then Tyrion found out about it and went to that alchemist and said how much do you have, and asked him to start making a whole lot more because he was going to use it in the Battle of Blackwater.
Yeah.
You guys remember that or not?
No, of course. Yeah, I remember that.
It saved the city. All of a sudden now there's like a secret, you know, another source that no one knew about, and now they've been able to find. I mean, it seems, you know, maybe too convenient, but, you know, we'll see.
I think there is the fire. I think she's going to blow everything up. They're going to be a trial, maybe in the last episode. Obviously, it won't be next week. You know, they're going to pronounce her guilty or whatever, and then boom, all hell breaks loose. She's blowing crap up, mayhem. And I think as a result, ends up killing her son at the same time, which we all know he's going to die at some point. I think she goes nuts, man, because she has no other choice. She's screwed. Everybody's against her, you know.
And it wouldn't be out of character, because, I mean, she almost did kill him, at the Battle of Blackwater, where she thought Stannis was going to take the city.
Yeah.
And remember, she had the poison ready to give to him and to herself, you know, say sacrifice him, because it was like, you know, it's, you know, she wasn't going to let anyone take him or her alive.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. She's going down with the ship.
And if she feels like, okay, Tommen's a lost cause, you know, I mean, we kind of joked about it, like, who's the biggest puss in the show, Tommen or Sir Pounce?
Tommen. <You decide. laughs> Without a doubt. But that's what I'm saying. I think that she's going to plot it. Things are going to explode. It's going to be a show, it may end up like that, as far as the ending, that kind of cliffhanger kind of deal. That's what I'm thinking anyway. And then Jamie maybe is riding out there and sees a fire and is like, oh, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, the city burning or the septum burning, whatever.
Exactly. She's burning something. It's going to be absolute chaos, because I don't see other way how this resolves this season, if not like that. So that's going to be interesting. But moving on, let's get to... I don't want to get to Daenerys this that much, because nothing really happened with her. I mean, for the most part, she came back again in grandstanding, what she always does, and, you know, what else is new with her?
A little dragon action?
Yeah, a slight dragon sighting.
A dragon flying off and her making a grand entrance.
Yeah, but that was about it. I know...
With that, with that, I'm just disappointed that we didn't get more of the Siege of Marine. You know, it was like we got an opening. We saw the ships coming in. Then they cut to, okay, now they're attacking at night and throwing catapults of fireballs into the city, and which is great. But then, that was it. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they're gonna continue that or not. But let's see if maybe, Yara and Theon show up to save the day with their ships and help out. And that's how they get together, I guess. I don't know. That's probably something they're going to explore.
I think this is the chance where they come in. Cause they weren't that far away to begin with. They were at Volantis. So
that's what I'm saying. So they might save that to episode 10 and all that. That's what I'm thinking. Who knows? But let's finish off with Jon Snow. Cause obviously that's going to bleed right into the episode 9. We'll get into our thoughts on that. Obviously, they didn't show him this in episode 8, but episode 7, they were showing him trying to gather an army, and it's her, him, Sansa, and what's his face? I forget his name, the old guy. They were talking.
Oh, the Onion Knight, Sordelos.
Yes, there you go. They were talking to the little girl, or whatever, and they each had their own speech. Yeah. They each throwing 2 cents, and they finally agreed, and they got a whopping 62 soldiers or whatever it was to help the cause.
Awesome, Lyanna Mormont, by the way.
So that was kind of interesting. So, but then I think that obviously we don't know how many troops he has. But
talk to the hand. I don't need to hear from you anymore. Like, I'm good.
Garbage. So, and then we see Sansa, of course, writing that letter at the end, and I think there's no mystery. She's probably writing Littlefinger.
I would agree, Mike. You agree? I have another theory.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just there's no doubt. She knows that they need help, and she's desperate, and she knows Littlefinger will come save her. So he'll save her at any point.
Littlefinger
or Robin. Probably Littlefinger, because obviously Robin answers to Littlefinger. So
exactly, he'll come in with the Knights of the Vale and all that. I just see that coming. So, which brings us now. So let's talk about episode 9, because obviously we know it's going to be the Battle of the Bastards, which HBO did a great job of keeping on the wraps for us.
What do you mean?
And it's funny because I didn't tell Mike this. I told you, Joey, where HBO announced recently, said they're going to stop putting up synopsis for episode 9 and 10. And I'm like, well, that's great. You already announced the damn title, Battle of the Bastards. I don't need a synopsis to know what that means. Thanks, HBO. Very secretive of you. It's idiots.
What it is there's going to be a fist fight.
I know. A duel.
Between Edric Storm and friggin' Gendry.
I know. That's what I really meant by that. And it had the trailer anyway. What's coming up next episode? Right. So whatever, it's kind of a stupid comment, but that's neither here nor there. But now we're gonna get to it. I think this is the episode I've been waiting for. It's presumably the biggest battle they shot and ever on the show. Again, that didn't say a whole lot, but whatever. And
gonna go there?
Yeah, I went there. So we're finally gonna see a big battle, and I'm kind of curious. To start with you, how you think this is gonna play out?
There's definitely nothing is ever straightforward for the most part. So there's definitely some positive twists. I'm hoping there's some. I think what my one theory was that that one house that had Rick on was going to have to play into it because the numbers between
small
the armies
are
pretty substantial.
Mm-hmm.
There may be they try to make peace first or comes, but obviously it doesn't work out because Bolton's got the advantage. If the Littlefinger is going to come in at some point and save the day, maybe, hopefully, obviously, I'm hoping that the Starks come out ahead, but we don't know for sure. We don't know what really is going to happen.
Really? I'm surprised.
I think they're going to, my personal belief is they're going to pay, there's going to be a heavy toll as far as characters go in these next 2 episodes. I think that the giant has been a huge character. I think
he's a wrap for him.
He's gonna die somehow.
Yeah, he's done. He's done.
What's his name? Tom Tom? Is that his name?
Tom Tom, one, whatever his name is.
It's 1-1.
1-1, yeah. And he's gonna take out a bunch of folks, don't get me wrong, but he's going down. There's no question.
If you put enough arrows, his partner at the Battle of the Wall, you put enough knives and
exactly
arrows and swords to him. He's not a Night Walker, man.
No, exactly. So I think he's gonna go. He's gonna go down manually, but he's going down. There's no question about that.
I think Rickon Stark's gonna die.
Okay, interesting.
Interesting.
Okay,
just my thought. I think it's gonna be some kind of Ramsay shenanigans.
You might kill him before, kill him running from Jon Snow, maybe.
Right. Okay. So try to psych out Jon Snow.
That's not bad. I can see that.
Do you think Jon Snow goes down for good?
No.
Okay.
I don't think Ramsay's going to die either.
Oh, honestly. No. I think he's going down, dude. No. He's not making that into episode of life.
One or the other is going down.
Exactly.
I disagree.
There's no question it's going down. This is going to get resolved next this episode. There's no. If it doesn't, I'll be kind of upset.
Even if Bolton's lose, I mean, you know, he's not surviving this.
He's not. There's no way.
Do you think Davos gets killed?
Ooh.
I hope not, because I like Davos a lot.
He may go down.
Actually, I think the actor that plays Davos is actually
really cool. The Redbeard guy who's in love with Brienne or whatever
Tormund?
Is going down.
Oh, Tormund?
I think he goes down saving Brienne.
You think Brienne's going to make it back in time?
Yeah, she'll be there. There's no question.
Okay.
She wants to be by Sansa Stark's side, especially in this moment. There's no question. And I think she's battling and she's about to die, and here comes a guy and saves her, and then he gets killed and all this other stuff.
You think Lyanna Mormont dies? No, just kidding.
I hope he Sam dies.
They've already killed enough kids on this show.
Bring on Sam. I think it's going to play predictably. It'll play out what they're fighting. Obviously, they're outnumbered. They can't win straight up. That's clear. I've heard a rumor about...
There's going to be a twist. There's going to be multiple twists, something that, you know, gives them a chance.
Well, there's two things. One, I think I heard people have been saying there's going to be a duel between Ramsay and Jon Snow, which I think will be ridiculous.
I don't think that's going to happen.
At the end?
Yeah, it's stupid there's no reason to duel because he's got the advantage. Why is he going to put himself
in
danger?
There's dumb. Two things that's stupid about that. First of all, the Ramsay Snow, there's no evidence that he's any kind of accomplished fighter at all. Jon Snow, on the other hand, is a very accomplished fighter, was trained under Ned Stark, who is one of the best duelers. He's no Arthur Dayne,
right.
But he was one of the best duelers in the Seven Kingdoms. So I think that we're going to see... I think Ramsay's going to have shenanigans in store. He's going to be a real jerk. He's going to kick a bunch of people off. But I think in the end, he's going to end up getting... captured.
He's getting killed. I'll take captured, but eventually tortured and killed. He's not coming out of this.
Maybe Ghost will eat him.
Something. Man, not, well, I don't know about that.
Ghost, no, the direwolves haven't had anybody. They haven't been able to really.
No one throws
Summer
them a bone.
Dies.
They
have.
I think
it comes out. I don't think it dies, but obviously I do think when Jon Snow's about to get beaten, whatever, here comes Littlefinger, like save the day, like it's right on cue, and then he helps him and then they win the battle. That's kind of how I see it playing out. I know this is never gonna happen. I would love to see the White Walker show up.
How are they going
to
get over the
wall? That's what I'm saying. But I'd love to see that happen. But yeah, I know it's not going to happen. But
I mean, I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be awesome.
You see the Night King, or White Walker show up out of nowhere, like on the other side of the wall.
Exactly.
Like, okay, they get through, and then, okay, now it's...
That's badass.
Now it's serious, but...
Because now I can see what Jon Snow's about to... They're about to lose again. Same scenario. But instead of Littlefinger, here comes the White Walkers. They all have to fight against him because what choice do they have? And then when both going down, then comes Littlefinger and helps both of them out. And eventually Ramsay gets killed in the process. That would be badass. But I know it's not going to happen, but whatever. It'd be nice to a fantasy play or whatever for Game of Thrones.
How's Littlefinger going to – who's he going to betray next? I mean, he's kind of
– Well, I think – I don't know. That's a good – I think it'll happen later. He's going to play ball with Sansa and then something. He'll do what he does later on, I guess, at the end of the day. He can get more support with Jon Snow and Sansa, I guess, at the end of the day than with Bolton. I don't know. He knows Bolton's a piece of crap. He doesn't want to line up with him. He's too unpredictable. You know, he's crazy. Yeah. So, yes, I don't think he lines up with him. I think this goes status quo, but it's going to be a cool battle. You know, people are going to die. It'll be interesting to see what happens. This is going to be the biggest episode, of course, and all that. So we'll see. And I think it's going to be all Jon Snow. I think the whole episode might be Jon Snow. Maybe like 10 minutes or something, and then the last 30, 40 minutes of Jon Snow battle. Because it's going to be the build-up, him gathering the troops, showing up in the big battle. That's going to take the majority of the show.
You think we're going to have Sam?
Bran has anything to do with this battle, or it comes in?
I think Bran's going to be on the show, but I don't think he's.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be involved in the battle.
Yeah, they may show him at the beginning of the show, but
Benjen
Benjen
is going to take him to the wall and then disappear again.
Exactly. Yeah, it's what I'm saying. I don't think. Yeah, you're right. They may show him. They have to show him the next episode, whether it's now episode 10. But I don't think he doesn't fight. He's not in the battle per se. Not at all. There, he's in the wall waiting to get back and all that. So. But either way, so we'll see what happens. We'll probably do a recap of episode 9. I think that's a big show. We want to probably just touch on that and then let's see what's left before, just to munch on for episode 10.
Right, the finale. We made a lot of juice.
You know, so
after that,
you said,
"Episode 9's going to be rough."
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think we want to talk about. So we'll probably get a Game of Thrones recap just for episode 9, setting up for episode 10 on the finale and all that.
We'll get more Sarmatov to chime in next week.
Anyway, maybe George will actually watch this episode. I think George, this will be an entertaining episode. You may want to watch this. A lot of people kidding, dying. You can't go wrong. And if you understand what's going on, you're going to get some good action. You know, yeah, I think it's an hour long show, like a full hour from what they said. And, one of the longest shows of the season, besides episode 10, which is announced 69 minutes, I think, or whatever.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I'm sure my Facebook feed will be inundated with, oh my God, Game of Thrones.
Every 2 seconds, Twitter.
Every two seconds.
Oh, Toma, my God, this guy dies. I can't believe it.
Even if you're not watching, you still get, oh my God, Toma. Oh, Brienne, kiss the guy already
before he dies, you know. Oh my God, Littlefinger's an asshole. So, all kinds of tweets. That's just anybody who listens to watch the show, watch it live, because it's going to be all over the internet, and Jesus. It's unavoidable.
I'm changing Littlefinger's name to Middlefinger.
Yeah. Hey, maybe Littlefinger after this episode. I'm hoping it's a twist. I don't think there is. I'm hoping it's a big twist. And maybe there is. So we'll see what happens. So either way, another great episode, guys. We'll have another one set up probably next week after, of course, episode 9. Chewie, thanks again for showing up and helping us out. Your knowledge is always welcome. Anything you want to say before you take off?
Yeah, shout out to my wife, my kids. Thank you.
Ray Weiss.
Big Sugar Mike.
Stop it. Fresh
Rec. And of course, a real mentor, my brother. Always a pleasure. And love being part of this.
Appreciate it again. Happy Father's Day to you before I forget.
Thank you very much. And Colombia, vamos.
Colombia, that's true. It's true. I don't have a text tomorrow. Happy Father's Day. I've already got out of the way. So that's one less text I got to send tomorrow. So anyway. All right, guys. Mike, you want to say something before?
He doesn't want to blow all that extra energy that it takes.
He's like, I already told him Happy Father's Day already.
I'm sure you can't find any Father's Day gifts at the girlslike.com website.
Actually, there's plenty of Father's Day stuff we sell there.
There we go.
At girlslife.com, girlzlyfe.com.
All right, guys. We'll round table back next time. See you later.